Report with Brad Biggs.
Biggs time.
Biggsy.
His name is Brad Biggs.
Brad Biggs talks football with you.
Mulligan Handley, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 to the score. Let's get out to the hotline, and there we find a man that you read in the Chicago Tribune. You follow him online at the National Football Post at fpost.com, and of course, he's always a twitter.com/Brad Biggs. Biggsy!
Morning, boys. How are you?
I am doing well. It is a wonderful day, and I'm very pleased with the world, Brad.
Yeah, it's going to be a great day. It's going to be a great weekend. And
we may break some bread down in New Orleans.
Break some bread. I think we got some college football tonight. So it's the week is moving right along. Very difficult news, I think, for Brian Urlacher's teammates yesterday to handle the fact that he had lost his mother. Brian is extremely popular in the locker room, obviously, has been since he was a rookie. And so a lot of guys with heavy hearts thinking about him, and that's only natural.
Couple contingency plans, starting with Urlacher, although most assume he'll play Sunday. If he doesn't, Nick Roach gets moved over and Brian Ewell takes over Roach's spot?
Yeah, that's what would happen, although I was told by someone late last night that that Brian definitely intends and plans to play in the game Sunday. I don't know if it's come out yet when the funeral's going to be. The person I was communicating with suggested that it was Saturday. Again, I don't know if that's definite, but if that's the case, I would imagine Brian takes some type of private jet from where he's at to New Orleans then after the funeral. And the thing is, if there's anyone on that team and on that defense that's capable of missing a week of work and showing up and putting the shoulder pads on and going out and playing a game, it's Brian Urlacher. They've been doing the same thing in that defense, especially with him, since 2004. He could do it without practicing, without going to a meeting. He could do it in his sleep. So I don't think the Bears will suffer any type of drop-off with him attending to family matters this week and then going to the game. And the Roach thing, he's played three games at middle linebacker as recently as 09 when Brian missed nearly the entire season. And Roach is a real quiet guy. His voice, it doesn't get real loud. And so there have been some issues with him in terms of getting the calls out so everybody can hear what's going on in the past, but there's just no way they're going to put Dom DeCicco, the undrafted rookie, out there in Urlacher's place in a football game. Not right now, anyway.
Brad, you're right about the offensive line today, too. To me, that's the key to the game, is not just protecting the quarterback, but being able to handle the adversity, the duress that they will be under with the loud stadium, with the aggressive coordinator, and of course, the team that had the extra time to break them down and watch them. I think there were a lot of elements here that could indicate trouble for the offensive line, and yet they had a very good game in whole by the end of the season opener. So you'd feel like it's still a work in progress, but now comes a real test.
Absolutely. You know, they were able to build some confidence with what they accomplished against the Atlanta Falcons. The offensive line was responsible for giving up three sacks. I think one sack was applied to Jamarcus Webb and one to Gabe Kareemi. If those tackles can go through each game, giving up maybe one sack, that offensive line is going to be fine. With what Mike Martz, and people say, well, geez, that would be 16 a season. But with what Mike Martz asks the offensive line to do in terms of protecting Cutler and some of these deep drops, I think they'll be in pretty good shape. I think that would be if they gave up 32 sacks this season, you'd say, geez, they're 22 better than they were a year ago. That's almost a sack and a half per game in terms of improvement. That would be super. So a heck of a test, though. Now, the Saints don't have Will Smith, their best pass rushing defensive end. He's got one more game to serve on that StarCaps suspension from about a decade ago, it seems. But with Greg Williams, and you'll be able to get much better information from Matt Bowen coming up soon when he's on with you guys, I think it's 7:20. But Williams, just he can scheme someone to death, and you have to know and understand that he's been plotting to go after these young tackles all week, and they're going to see something that they absolutely didn't prepare for. They call it an unscouted look. They're going to be getting some of those from the Saints, and it's a matter of how they handle them. Now, the flip side of all this pressure that they're going to get from the Saints and Greg Williams is with each crazy blitz that he brings and overload and all kinds of stuff like that, there's an opportunity for something downfield, and there's an opportunity for something big. So if the Bears can counter some of what the Saints are bringing in terms of pressure by exploiting them downfield, I think they've got an opportunity to hit multiple big plays.
Well, given all that you just said, Bigsy, can you allow the young, can you allow Kareemi and Jamarcus Webb to be independent and not give them help, that given the fact they're down in the dome and you got the defense dialing up all sorts of blitzes?
Well, I think the reality, Brian, is that they'll be one-on-one on occasions, absolutely. You can't give them help to both of them on every snap in the game. Will we see tight ends staying in the pass block? Absolutely. You know, that's a big staple of the March offense as well. I've talked about it before, how when Mike March was in San Francisco one season, they kept Vernon Davis in as a third offensive tackle on more than 250 snaps. It's mind-boggling when you consider the talent that Vernon Davis has as a receiver downfield. I mean, it's unbelievable to think that you'd keep him in to pass block that often, but it was a combination of things. It was a combination of how awful the 49ers offensive line was and how good Vernon Davis was as a pass blocker and how much March employs that in his offense, asking the tight end to help out pass blocking. Now with Forte, you've got to consider a couple things here. Forte's very good in terms of blitz pickup, and he's very smart, and he knows where he's supposed to be, he knows where his man is, but he's such a weapon for them as a receiver that I believe the Bears view him as kind of the answer to some of these blitzes, that, okay, if you're going to come, well, we're definitely going to take this guy and put him out into the pattern, and now you've got to account for Matt Forte as a receiver with maybe a linebacker who is going to struggle in coverage against Forte. So they don't want to keep him in against the blitz. They'd prefer to have him out in the pattern where he can make the opponent pay.
He's Brad Biggs from the Chicago Tribune, and Biggsy will let you go just on the way out. Merriweather getting more practice reps, that would seemingly indicate that they're trying to move him in as quickly as possible, as they should.
Yeah, but he got the more practice reps yesterday with Chris Harris sitting out with a minor hamstring injury. If Harris plays this week, you would expect Merriweather to continue to probably take some time from Major Wright. I think Merriweather had 22 snaps in the game against the Falcons. And, they're clearly pushing him into a more prominent role. Should be a starter soon. Does it happen this week? That might still be a little bit too quick, but it's headed in that direction. And I was told that the Chris Harris hamstring issue is not serious, but even a minor one, it could potentially keep the guy out. We'll get a better handle on that situation today and tomorrow when we see the practice report and find out who does exactly what on the field.
All right, Biggsy, thanks a ton. We appreciate it.
Have a great day, guys.
Take care, Biggs.
That is Brad Biggs. You read him in the Chicago Tribune, the National Football Post, and, of course, twitter.com/Brad Biggs.